the cross-rank temperature salinity stratification of velocities here. What you can see is in the temperature, you have all this mixing that happened right here in the cooled wake, mixed cold water up. So outside the cold lake, it's quite warm, about 30 degrees. But in the center of the cold lake, it's down about 26 degrees. And it's also deepened, basically mixed like quite a bit. You can also see this in salinity, where it's quite fresh in the surface layer outside of the cold lake. But within the cold lake itself, because you've done all this mixing right in the cold lake, you've mixed up quite a bit of salinity. And so the salinity contours have been upwelled, it looks like. Stratification, you can see the mixed layer is well mixed, and the base of the mixed layer has been deepened by the mixing in the typhoon passed over. And the base of the mixed layer is subject to strong velocity shear still. This is from the ship's ADCP. And you can pretty much see that the velocity shear and the base of the mixed layer pretty much exactly correspond to each other. This is a plot which I just got from Lou about 10 minutes ago. he was flying from Key West and landed in Atlanta and sent me this amongst others. And this is the shear measurements from the turbulence profiler overlaid on the velocity shear from the ship, which I just showed. And this one's a little hard to interpret. There's one further on that's a bit more clear in what we see. But we just start working on this, getting everything together. We can see that at sort of, you get these elevated mixing levels right in the surface, which is expected. That's just elevated driven mixing in the mixed layer. But then, if you sort of squint a little, you can see that at the base of the mixed layer where you have these high shears measured by the ADCP, you also have quite a bit of dissipation measured by the turbulence profiler. It's more obvious here in the cold wake than it is outside the cold wake. In cross wake section number two, which is this next crossing of the cold wake that we did, by now it's getting on to the 23rd. Starting to lose the sea surface temperature signature of the cold wake. You can see it's affected quite a bit more into the Yuku Islands by the geostrophic circulation that's probably set up by the eddies on both sides of where the center of the cold wake was. Again, you can see the cold wake quite well defined in temperature. Here it's quite warm, the surface layer getting about 30 degrees. Here's the mixed temperature. The cold water's been mixed up. Salinity has also been mixed up. It's fresh outside the cold wake, salty inside the cold wake. Stratification. Again, that base of the mixed layer corresponds quite well to the velocity shear. It's also the base of the mixed layer. For this section, we didn't have quite as many turbulence profiles. But here, right where the cold wake was, you can see that we do have advanced dissipation right at the base of the mixed layer where the high velocity shears are. This velocity shear is like completely driven by the inertial oscillations in this mixed layer. Finally, we did this teeny tiny little highly resolved section of just the edge of the cold wake. And this is on the 25th. By this point, our cold wake sort of, at least the seasonal temperature, is broken into two parts. This part, which is being happily affected through the Ryukyu Islands now and to the East China Sea, and also being streamed apart going southward. And Eric and I talked about this a bit at the time. We were out there, and you could see this develop into sort of a chlorophyll stream. We're going to the south. We never got over there to check that out. Here, this is a bit now more art than science, I think, interpreting this, but this is the cold wake in here, and this is outside the cold wake just to the north. You can see it getting fresh and warm versus slightly saltier and cool. you're inside of the cold wake anymore, but right here on the edge of the cold wake, there's quite a large central velocity shear, and I'm not sure what to make of this since we just started looking at this. But you can see it quite well in the turbulence dissipation measurements that right in here inside this gone area of velocity shear, we have quite a bit of enhanced dissipation as opposed to in here in the cold lake itself where there's not much dissipation going on at all, except for within the very surface layers. If you look at the depth integrated profile of dissipation down to 100 meters, you can see that here inside of the cold lake it's somewhat lower than just on the northern edge of the cold lake, which I think Lou would interpret this to be that the dissipation is happening inside that shear layer, and where that shear layer arises from, I think we still need to determine. That's what I have so far for analysis. For data archiving, our data is going to be MRI catalog. As of today, when I gave Mike my data stick this morning, all the shipboard meteorological data from our cruise is now on the archive, along with the ADCP, XBT, and CTP data. There's also similar data sets from the other Rebelle cruises that were part of ITOP, Arrenches, and Hanses, and a couple others, I guess. But that needs to end up on the data archive as well, with similar data structures. There's some sorting we should do of the data before we put it all on. For instance, the raw ADCP data is something in the hundreds of gigabytes of data, and it's probably useless to actually put it on there unless somebody really wants it. Our turbulence data is preliminary, but we're working on finalizing it. And then finally, for people who are interested in the underway CTV data, it suffers from significant conductivity problems. Biases, offsets, drifts in each of the different probes that was used, and it needs extensive correction. I've corrected it for the first two sections, but there's a lot of it. There's about 3,000 profiles of it that need to be corrected, so there's a lot of work left to do on that. Yeah, that one flow headed up and got to here. So it's hard to know, I think.
Steve, when I looked at your dissipation plots, they looked the one in between there. They look sort of event-like. Can you put a scale or anything on them?
A time scale on them?
Or a space scale or something like that. I guess they've been one.
Well, here, I mean, this is the high resolve section. That's 1/10 of a degree, so that's about 10 kilometers, right? So between those two ticks, so yeah. Pretty small. Some of these other ones,
yeah, right there.
These are quite a bit bigger. Those are by almost half or a quarter of a degree, so 25 kilometers.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Steve, do you have a chance to read out what's the dissipation rate and the strong inertial shear regime? I cannot read the number.
These get pretty hard to read because they're on log. We need to figure out a better way to plot these. This is what Lou does, and I don't.
So what's the order of magnitude?
This is 10 to the minus 9 up to 10 to the minus 6. So these really big ones here are 10 to the minus 6.
10 to the minus 6.
We should keep going.
Which then opens up the question about what happens to submassive scale instabilities, because they didn't appear to be working on it. I mean, certainly mesoscales have actually demolished the cold wave pretty quickly in our area, but submassive scale processes did not show up for this cold wave. This stuff? It's about. Oh, these are about 250 meters. The black lines are temperature contours, so there doesn't seem to be a big thermal line down there. Maybe whales or
something. It's patchy.
It's patchy.
Okay, we should keep going.